Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On a new 4D in the MC, will the Detroit Lions have another headache on their hands when it comes to the offensive line? They could find themselves shorthanded. Plus, Dan Campbell says the only thing that fuels him going into the Bears game is losing to the Packers. And the dust has settled a bit. It's time for a temperature check on how you're feeling. All of that right now.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's fourth down in the Motor City.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave.
Rah, rah, rah!
Go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lion victory.
Go Lions!
Hosted by Zach Clark.
So I skipped yesterday, and there were just so many hot takes flying around. I just figured I'd let y'all hash it out on Twitter and on Reddit and on local sports talk radio. Y'all go nuts. I'm going to wait back a day, and then we'll jump back into the fray. And that's exactly what is happening right now. We're going to talk about the Lions injury report coming up here in just a second. We're going to go inside the headset with Dan Campbell. And then at the end of the show, I want to take your temperature. So let's take a look at the Detroit Lions injury report. And it's not great. It's also not terrible. In the practice report today, September 10th, no Jack Campbell, no Taylor Decker. Nwoski and Vaki were both limited practice. And Arnold and Daniel Thomas were both full practice. Full participant. However you want to use your P. So Campbell and Decker out, Nwoski and Vaki limited, Arnold and Thomas good to go. So seeing Terrien be a full participant is huge. Dan Campbell didn't seem super concerned after the game on Sunday, but he was still non-committal. I assume we can now move on from this moment, but I don't know that. He was really hampered in that first half. Hopefully, not only is he healthy enough, but he's healthy enough to contribute. To be a factor. That's what the Lions need. But the big thing that jumps out to me here is Taylor Decker, right? I mean, remember how much the Lions' offensive line struggled against the Packers? Okay. Well, now, what if your front was Manu, Mahogany, Glasgow, Ratledge, and Sewell? Decker now officially questionable and did not practice at all today with a shoulder injury. That would be an insane problem for the Lions to have. If you're already having communication issues, if you're already having issues gelling together as five, if you're already having to scramble, throwing in a third relatively unproven player to the mix of your offensive line alongside a veteran in Glasgow and then, you know, an absolute stud in Sewell, whew, boy. The Bears' defense, solid. This would be a huge problem for the Lions, and you know what? It would be no matter who they played. That would be a duct tape together offensive line in week two. Not where you want to be. I mean, the Lions were cut off at the knuckle on Sunday because they couldn't get their run game going, which just flattened the chance at play action. And play action, in my opinion, is the Lions' absolute dominant strength. And when you have two running backs that are that good, of course it is. Not when they average 2.2 yards a carry. Not when you can't stop the edges from crashing and the interior pressure just keeps happening. Detroit has to establish the run to unleash their biggest weapon, play action. And seeing Jack Campbell not practicing isn't super encouraging either. It never would be. But we have discussed this in the past. The Lions are probably the deepest at linebacker. Not the most star-studded, but the deepest at linebacker. So if they could absorb for a week or two Jack Campbell being out, so be it. It would be far worse if it was Anzalone. We saw what happened last year. No injury is good. But we're starting to see some big names in the injury report early. And maybe I'm just panicking now because of what I got used to last year. I just feel like chip away, ended up with 22 guys on IR. That's not going to happen this year probably, but I'm kind of panicky. Not when it comes to the way they play, but the whole injury thing. I don't want it to snowball again. I would love to see Vaki get going. He had to battle through last season and was hoping for a stronger showing in this season, and he just can't get it going. He's not been able to stay healthy. The Lions don't have questions at running back necessarily or even in special teams, but I want to see what Vaki's made out of. I want him to be one of the 53 dudes or 48 dudes or 69 nice dudes that contributes on this squad. This conversation has not been super painful, but it's longer than I would have wanted it to be. That's what she said. Weirdo. All right, let's go inside the headset with Dan Campbell. He took the podium earlier, and there's been so much talk about a Ben Johnson reunion, rightfully so, but that's not the only reunion this Sunday.
He's very detailed. His guys always play hard. The essence of defense, man, they run, they hit, they challenge, you know, and they make it hard on you. Nothing comes easy. He covers himself a lot, man. Like he's kind of been through it all. He knows where people are trying to expose that defense. And so he's got answers for everything. And like I say, when you accompany that with the way they play, that's why he always has really good defenses, you know? So he's an excellent communicator, knows how to teach, you know, energetic, passionate. So all of those things are always going to rub off on your players. So I got a lot of respect for D. I got a lot of respect for all those coaches. It's a hell of a staff over there. It really is.
And don't worry, he's not naming Ben Johnson on purpose. You're going to hear it in a minute. But let's not forget about Dan and Dennis. The pair certainly overlapped in New Orleans on the coaching staff, but they were teammates at Texas A&M in the mid-90s. There is nowhere to hide in this matchup. Everybody knows everybody. And again, when we talk about the Lions' possible offensive line injury issue, a Dennis Allen defense is not what you want to see with three guys who have played very little together or at all across from you. That's not good for the Lions. Dan was asked about how the Lions fight through Hutch being double and triple teamed.
I always think of what I do, you know, WWD. D. And I would not let Hutch, you know, wreck a game. There's no way. So they will have answers. They're not going to let him just, you know, particularly on passing downs, they're not going to let him ever have a one-on-one. And if they do, it'd be rare or balls out really quick. So they will. And he knows that. We know that. It's understood. That's the game he has to play. And, you know, that's not for the faint of heart, that's for sure. But it also means other guys got to step up and win, you know, and it'll be about us putting other guys in positions to where we think we'll draw some of those, and they got to win and win quickly. Look, there's more to give everywhere. I mean, that's the most obvious. The coaches, right, the players, what we do fundamentally, technique-wise, how we set it up a little bit. And so I would anticipate us being much better this week.
Like, okay. This is the right answer, but I don't like it because if they knew this was going to happen, why did Aiden get kind of dominated? Or at the least, why wasn't he able to get pressure? I'm not criticizing Hutch. I'm wondering about the thought there, the thinking throughout his placement and play calling throughout the game. I mean, at one point he dropped back into coverage. Dude, I know it was a pass play, but like, he's your pass rusher. You can't be rushing backwards on your heels. You got to be on your toes going forward. So if they knew this was going to happen, their play calling was unusual. We've talked about the offensive line. There's lots to talk about with the offensive line. And is Dan Campbell worried? No.
We're going to be out there today, man. We're going to address it head on. We talked about it in walkthrough, the focus, the footwork, the little things. And we're going to make sure that we establish that today, day one in practice. and that we're on point with our footwork, man, our hat placement, all the little things, man, we're ID'd correctly, we're coming off the ball. Or if not, we'll do it again, and we'll get it right, we'll get it right, we'll get it right, and we are going to be much better. We will be much better.
Got to say, didn't love that answer either. Yeah, you should always be solid fundamentally, but you had like 8 weeks. You're working on hands and feet now? It's September 10th, at least as I sit here. I mean, yes, work on those things if they need them, but Dan said on Sunday after the game that maybe he overestimated what the team could handle in the early going as far as like play calling install, and that he overwhelmed them, he thinks. But we can't walk all the way back to like day one of football. I'm not anywhere near bailing on the ship, but that answer, I didn't like that. Stick around. More Fourth Down in the Motor City is next. And now, more Fourth Down in the Motor City. Dan was asked about the Bears' offense, and he must have only watched the first half.
I thought they played pretty fast. You know, those receivers were moving. I thought the shifts, the motions. I thought the O-line came off the ball. Swift ran hard. Quarterback played fast. I thought it looked really good, man. Looked pretty good, which is what I would expect from Ben's unit. So, look, they got good players over there, and he's got the system in, and it's about attacking the opponent, and we got good players over here too, and we're pretty prideful, and so we just got to play our rules, apply our rules, and make sure that we get it right in practice and carry it over into the game.
Yeah, Caleb started 10 of 10, but from there he was 11 of 25. The Bears looked absolutely lost by the time the game was over. I don't mean like they lost. I mean they looked lost, confused, unaware. I will die on this hill until he proves me otherwise. I do not believe in Caleb Williams. I do not believe in Caleb Williams. Just another USC quarterback, man. I'm standing by that. Dan was asked about, like, you know, motivation.
You know what fuels my tank is losing, all right? That fuels me because I don't like losing. Our players don't like it. And you go back to work, man, and you get back to the basics of what you do, man, and you hit it head on. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. We're all accountable. And if we want to win, we got to do the little things right and prepare that way. And then we got to play that way. So that's what gets me going.
I had to throw in one stock answer. The question was about Yahoo's like me running wild on whatever podcast or radio show or social media account over the last 72 hours after, you know, what happened. The best question of the presser and the best answer was the follow-up. And that was, do you think you deserve more credit, like more grace?
That's where the standards are at now. So that's the nature of what we're in right now, you know, and that's a good thing. That means that we've risen above what we were at one time. That's our world, man. That's our world. But I know that if we felt that way and acted that way, we'd be in trouble. And so we can't worry about all that, you know. And I mentioned this the other day. All you worry about is getting better. You really do. Like, we got to get much better with our fundamentals and communication. Just those two things alone. And if we improve that, a whole nother step above what we did last week, we're going to be much better. And then let's get a little bit better the next week, and it'll take care of itself. It really will.
Forget about the one step better every week or whatever, blah, blah, blah. For once, the Lions have a high bar, and it's a legit high bar. No way should we be lowering the bar at any point in time to make yourself feel better. Should we be walking back the way we feel? No. Can you scale back your, I don't want to say expectations, but like your prediction, maybe, but the expectations should remain the same. We want to set a standard as a team, a franchise, and hopefully as a fan base where it's winning or nothing. I want to be part of that. I was part of that. Remember the Red Wings? Man, that was fun. Sign me up. I want to close out with one here. It was about the Packers game, and it's kind of about how things snowball.
To me, if we'd gotten ourselves in a hole, and it really, when it became a 3-score game, that's where it really got hard. It wasn't a 2-score game. If you can just pull it within one score, we're good to go. But when you become a 3-score game, then it becomes very hard because now they know you have to go over the top. And so I do think when you play that, the right thing to do is to stay patient with it. You have to stop. Look, when you, I mentioned this other, you go 31 of 39, right? You got 30 minutes of time of possession, and you had 22 carries on the ground. That smells of you're winning the game. But we didn't do enough, right? It's not enough. And so we tried to play it right. We just didn't execute. We just didn't execute, and we had a turnover. And so I think what we did was right, and you have to just stay in that. You have to stay in that, you know? Just play that game for a while. Stay patient. And because I do believe we get in there, we get within one score, defense gets a stop. Now, all of a sudden, man, you're good. You got times, you got timeouts, but you get in that type of game, it gets really hard.
In the NFL, especially against a team like the Packers that are already good, you cannot spot them big leads. I know that's like obvious, but the game wasn't really over until much later into the fourth quarter. It didn't look good at all from start to finish, but it didn't really become catastrophic until the very end. It's not going to make you feel any better. They still lost, but I think that's important perspective. All right, so let's take your temperature. Say, do not bend over. Has time made things better? Like, has the 72 hours made you feel more calm? Did the injury report make you feel like it was maybe a step back? What about the way the Bears played? It feels like the Lions lost a month ago, and it was, again, 3 days. How do I feel? I don't know. The same, if we're being honest. I didn't go in the tank when they lost. I had several gripes afterwards, and I think they were legitimate gripes after the game, but I'm not calling it a season after four quarters of football. There's just no way. Do I feel great? No. Who would feel great right now? I think some things are fixable, like Hutch will get pressure. The Lions will create turnovers. Gibbs will break out. That last one, though, was contingent on one very important thing, and it's that dang offensive line. And I know I was confident about that line going in. Well, I was wrong. The potential's still there, but the immediate skill level is not what I thought it was going to be. Now, if Dan says we just got to work on our hands and our feet and our timing and our blah, 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 then we should see a much better offensive line. If we don't, then you know there's a real problem. By the way, Frank Ragnow's not coming back. He's eating those cookies and milk, man. He's not coming back. Don't even bother. He's not coming back. I'll give you one hot take to close the program. If the Lions get beat by the Bears at home, it might be time to start looking at mock drafts. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm going to put it out there. If the Lions get beat by the Bears at home, it's time to start looking at mock drafts. Again, not worried. Make sure you're following Fourth Down in the Motor City wherever you get your podcasts. That includes the free Odyssey app. And if you haven't done so yet, please rate us and leave us a review. That kind of thing is super helpful. We're back in your feed tomorrow with more. Remember, it's Fourth Down in the Motor City, and we're going for it every single time.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.